Yes, we're back on Keeping the Ball on the Ground with William Hill and Black Rooster. Apologies for the week off last week. Celtic beat Rangers and Slaney and Paul Tim never left the bedroom all week.
Oh, you're right, actually, that's what I said, but I was doing for an interview with Soccer M, Si.
Oh, no way. Because that fat boy's been chucked in.
He's been hopeless for years. So
is it you that got him chucked?
Aye, and they wanted to freshen up a wee bit, Si. So I went down there and I was turning my back on open goal. Never told open goal, Si, that I was doing it. I was just going to. Disloyalty, Si. I don't like.
I love it.
Exactly. So, but I failed the interview, so I never done well. So I'll no be gone there, Kev. So I'm back open goal today, and it's great to see you boys again.
You happy to have him back, Kev? Oh, I was a bit worried there. I thought he was going to announce he was leaving on.
Again. I got a wee bit of jelly belly up.
So what did you feel to Hornet?
They didn't like my accent, Si. As simple as that. I think the show's been ridiculous since Tim Lovejoy left. Yeah. Tim Lovejoy, did he turn his back in the show? Aye, he did. And has he done better since he left? No.
Absolutely
he's stuck with that baldy Liverpool boy. The fucking shite.
Rimmer. Wee Rimmer. Si Rimmer.
Crap. So, the jokes.
Ready, steady, cook.
The jokes on Tim Lovejoy, innit? So, listen, I don't know whether I'll go back down there and see if I can maybe bring the Tim Lovejoy stuff up and maybe get in.
Right.
But I don't know, Si, but I'm happy to be back today.
But it's good that other companies are looking at you.
Exactly. And I do believe that his open goal stalled. Aye, I believe so.
And it's due to you not being on as much, I think.
I think so, Si. I think there's got to be. I was actually thinking about it. Maybe.
It's got to be more about you, isn't it?
I think so. And I think maybe a game every month, Kev, me and you, maybe we do it. We go to the game and we talk about the game. Do you know what I mean? So
aye.
Obviously you're playing, Si, so you're going to be there.
An insight.
Or regardless, maybe we go and see Si play and we do that.
I'd love that. I'd absolutely love that.
An open goal live podcast, me and you commentating on Si's performance.
I think that would be great.
I'm in a rich vein of form,
eh? Aye, aye.
Oh, I've been hearing.
Every week I check live score and I look, Peter Heed's always scored goals. You don't score many, do you?
No, it's not about scoring goals, mate.
Are you just a sitting midfielder?
It's about winning.
It's about winning, exactly.
Exactly. And I see you, Si, the way you talk. You're a winner, and when you don't play, the team don't win. As simple as that.
You said that, not me. How's Bonkers? All right. You had to get his balls taken off, didn't you?
Well, I snubbed him, snubbed him.
Back to the pound.
No, Si, I got obviously the money for the fringe, but I've blown it all on a MacBook, and it is the worst fucking decision I've ever done.
Why did you buy a MacBook?
I don't know, mate. I don't date it. Only thing I deal on it is YouTube, and I already done that on my phone, so I don't know what I'm doing. £1,300 I bought. I try, and I'm not going to tell. Like,
I told you that.
I know. The God's honest truth. The next day, I try to take it back in, and the guy went, mate, there's fucking stains all in it. So I can't.
Is it a screensaver?
Is
it the new bird?
The meaning new bird, but it's the 5 second one where it changes pictures. So it's all the ones of the family, wee George and the buff.
The
so it's great to have.
Hey, what do you expect your door?
I think so. I think the vice booked a wee trip to centre parts in Ireland.
Oh, nice.
I don't know why.
That was Ireland for anyone wondering.
No, we're going to. There's a new Centre Parks opened up now. My kids Centre Parks. So I think we're going there in October. Down to Stranraer, get the ferry over, and a wee drive doing a bit of a road trip.
That weekend?
Looks like it, aye. Mother-in-law and father-in-law's coming,
mate.
So.
Won't enjoy it.
No, it'll be good. Kids are buzzing.
You deserve a wee break. You've been through a lot recently, haven't
you? What, with the divorce and that?
Oh, man, alive.
Taking it well, to be fair.
Right, listen, we need to mention as well, William Hill, if you join today and bet £10, you get a £30 in free bets. We're going to need to talk about it. Scotland have had their absolute pants pulled down this week. Kev, what did you make of the two games?
The Russia one. First 20 minutes, you actually got quite excited. They played well, they passed the ball well, they harried Russia into making mistakes. That's obviously where the goal come from. Good cross in, keepers dropped it, McGinn's put it in, and then all of a sudden we just stopped. We just decided to stop doing what we were doing the first 20 minutes, and then with 20 minutes to go when we're getting beat, we decided to do the same again as the first 20 minutes, and we actually caused them a few problems. So in between the other 50 minutes, I just don't know, absolutely baffled that was a must-win game and we went out with a whimper. Mm-hmm. And obviously last night, Belgium, that game was going to just take care of itself regardless. We play on the biggest park in the world against the best passing team in the world.
In the world.
We got truly pumped. Mm-hmm. And things just look absolutely grim from a point of view that I'm convinced the team that I played with in the early 2000s with Bertie Vokes was better.
You think so? No way.
Well, we got to a playoff.
Yeah.
So, at what point are this team going to look like they're going to get to a playoff? we've got a Nations League thing, and that's a lottery who we're going to get in that. But well, do you feel confident?
I think it looks like Bulgaria, you were saying, but Bulgaria looked decent against England.
Although they get beat by England comfortably, they still look better than us.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of work to be done. There's a lot of questions to be asked. Are we the guys to give them answers? Absolutely we are. But,
oh, we're going to give them it soon. We're going to give them it. Right, Slaney, what's your take? Come on, give us the expert view on Scotland.
Listen, I'll just say a first line that Scotland will qualify for the Euro side. I really do believe so. I think they've got great players. It's no worked. It certainly hasn't worked. And I'll tell you exactly why. Two reasons. The first reason is Hampden Park, no more side. They've got to get away from that. It's great. It's... Oh, come on, come in to Russia and De Bruyne. Come on in and enjoy it. Big pitch, massive space. Come and enjoy it. Bring it now. Listen to this. I'm starting the campaign from the day, and it will succeed. Simple as that. Scotland will now play their home games at Tynecastle. That's a pit. It's a
wow. Great shout.
Thanks very much. It's a bare pitch. Tight. Shout. Very tight. Do you think Kevin De Bruyne's going to want to bring his wee ginger frillies to that Tynecastle? I don't think so.
Even better, our broth. Pick the windiest day in the...
Gayfield, is that Gayfield?
Gayfield,
but I believe, yes, it should be Tynecastle now. Hampden is, and honest to God, bring it there. Can you imagine your Kevin De Bruyne's of this world sitting in a way dressing at Tynecastle? They will not want to be there, and they won't be there. They'll make up an excuse, that they're injured or something. Hampden's... I came in on Friday night, there's no atmosphere.
Now, do you know what should happen at Tynecastle? You should stand outside the away dressing room with bonkers. Gnarling at the players.
I believe the second point was that I should be in New Scotland, but as a kit man, we'll say the kit man, that's the title we use. I'll be much more than that about the place. I believe we should turn it into a horror show at Tynecastle. Get the lights out, the lights show they do at Celtic Park.
Cold showers.
Get the lights out and give everybody a torch, and flash them on and off. What other lights are out, this is, when the team's there, the away team's there, the Scotland boys delay it, and we get the lights flashing at them, and also what did Benfica do today with it?
Welcome to Hell or something.
And they fly the eagle out.
Yeah.
We will have our very own bald eagle and fly Stevie Woods out.
Yes! Love it!
Get the campaign underway. Hampden, no more. Let's get the trick or treat at Tynecastle, It's time to go there. It's time for rock and roll. It's time for... as I say, a bear pit atmosphere, and we will qualify for the Euros. The boys are, we've got world class players in the squad, and we've got one that's no in the squad, Tierney, who'll be back by that time. Andy Robertson, world class. You've got, you've got great players, but as Kev says, you have to date on the pitch, and I believe, I think they'll turn it around. I date, but this country, I feel that this country in every walk of life, we hate each other and we put each other down all the time. We're horrible with each other, but every time I speak to a foreigner, they say these are the most friendly people. We are towards them because we don't believe in ourselves. We're bitches. We suck up to foreigners and we put them before us. No. See, when I go to France, Spain or Italy and I say, where's the directions to the bus? They look at you as if you're a piece of shit, and rightly so. We must change the mentality of this country, thanks very much. Superb.
Wow. That's why he is the number one podcaster.
That's why I'm
I think, Slaney's right. We don't, when we are playing our games, we don't play the games that will benefit the team. So when we're talking about playing against Belgium, why are we playing Belgium at Hampden?
I know
it's the national stadium. There's not been an atmosphere since fucking Beyonce and Jay-Z boated it last summer, right? But ultimately, Tynecastle is... perfect. Yeah. You might not get the numbers in terms of fans, but let's get 25,000, whatever it is, in there that want to go and support Scotland. Make it a Ross's atmosphere, make it a party scene, I don't know. It's just.
I don't know. I don't know what's the deal there. Why he's
When we play against Russia and Belgium, when we pass the ball about, we can pass it about in the border quite comfortably, pass, but we don't go anywhere.
No.
Whereas when Russia and Belgium, we got the ball and they go one, two, three, four passes, all of a sudden you're like, oh my God, they're going to score.
Yeah.
It's something about there's an idea of keeping the ball, which is great, but keep the ball with a purpose of actually getting an end product, whereas we keep the ball with no idea as to what we're going to do with it. And I just kind of figure out how do we change that? Because ultimately we have got a team of, I wouldn't say world beaters as such with Slaney. I say we've got a team of some good players playing with some good teams. But is it the good teams making our good players better than what they really are?
And
then when they all come together collectively, We're just an alright team. I don't know.
Can I say something? I know I kenned him the last podcast, Scott McTominay, but honestly. Scott McTominay, see, now I go and watch youth development games, right? and there's hundreds of Scott McTominays. That is what a youth academy centre midfielder looks like now.
Aye.
Doesn't sprint, doesn't tackle, doesn't score, doesn't assist. When he passes it forward, he gives the ball away. Do you know what he does? He passes the ball to fullbacks and centre halves. Now, see, when I was young, Tommy Byrne, see if you pass the ball to centre half or a fullback, he'd take you off, eh? Mm-hmm. Why is my best player want to pass the ball to defender?
Because it's to Scott McTominay.
They play like old men, mate. They play like the 34 and 35 year old.
It looks great. Keeping the ball, it looks great. There you go. I've got it. I've spared it. I've passed it. I've passed it. But it not actually went anywhere. Anyway,
see the reason that McGinn and McGregor didn't play well? He doesn't pass the ball to them.
No.
He passes it to Charlie Mulgrew. He passes it to Cooper. See, if I was to go back as a youth team player now, I'd go and play fullback or centre half.
Because
they get
their
touches of the ball than anybody.
It's actually like. We've got a five in the midfield. We had Fraser, we had McGregor, we had McTominay, we had McGinn, and we had Forrest hardly touched the ball, and that wasn't due to what he was doing.
Doesn't pass the ball.
Nobody gave him the ball. It's the same with Fraser. Nobody gave him the ball. Every time they got the ball out wide, they had to come back because they obviously had McBurnie up front. I'm not going to slaughter the boy. I've played a Scotland game where you have been in that position.
Who, Bolly McBurnie?
Oh.
That season anyway.
Well, you're up front on your own and you don't know what to do because the servers are getting shocking. You're trying to hold it up against two monster centre halves. The guy's trying, but he's not going to win Scotland. It's going to get to a point where that kid is going to say, you know what, I'm going to take a break for Scotland because it's no Dane McCombs any good. And my bread and butter Sheffield United. And that's what will happen. The kid. But we don't see enough of Ollie McBurnie down south. We only see him when he comes and plays for Scotland. So.
Yeah, but see what you're saying, though? The reason he doesn't get the ball, and again, when I say I watch youth games, strikers don't touch the ball anymore, eh?
No.
Because nobody passes the ball forward. No. It's all about possession now and keeping your shape. Look, see in Scotland now, there's hundreds of McTominays. I watch them every week. Do you know what you never see? A Kevin De Bruyne.
No.
A kid for the middle of the pitch that wants to pass the ball forward, that wants to try and set up chances, that drives with the ball. For me, that's got nothing to do with players, that's coaching.
I think
you're told now in this country, keep the ball, play safe, it's all about shape and formations. See, when we were younger, go and take risks, go and express yourself, you give the ball away, who cares, it's a youth team game.
So I've been at Open Goal for 8 months and that 5 minutes you've said is the best I've heard. It genuinely is, mate. You're so spot on. We keep going on about this projects and all that. It's the principles of doing things right, Si. That word principles is huge. And as you say, there's a midfielder. There's nothing worse as playing in midfield when you see a guy getting the ball and he drives forward or he plays a pass forward. If I was, I kind of run the line for myself, Si.
You can play there now.
But now, playing against somebody like that, it'd be brilliant. He's just passing it, Si. I'll just stay here. You're so spot on.
I even see wingers now in youth development. The ball gets played to a winger, he's got 1v1 against his fullback, and he turns back and passes it to a fullback to keep the ball.
I can't understand
that. Just keep the ball in Scotland.
I can't understand it. When I was a winger, I remember every single coach I had, my first thought was to take him on. If I never did that, you try to get the cross in right away, and it's up to the strikers in the box. And after the game, the coach would come up to me and say, you've done that many crosses, no good enough. Nowadays, it seems like wingers, they either cut in, pass the ball back. I don't know, it seems like this keep the ball stuff, it is. I mean, because Guardiola does it, he's a genius. He knows exactly inside out.
He's got the players that at some point. Like,
but they didn't Belgium, just keep it for
Belgium.
No reason, Barcelona. No.
Last night, Scotland kept the ball in periods of the game for maybe like 2-3 minutes, 10-15 passes, not a problem. But at not one point in that 10-15 passes sequence did we ever think about threading a ball or putting it in the channel for somebody. Whereas when Belgium did it, it's only 3 or 4 passes, and eventually time it gets to Mertens or De Bruyne, he's already thinking, right, where's Lukaku? So that ball's in the left back, it's went to midfield. So when I get it, I know that there's a wee ball there.
Yeah, yeah.
And if there was a wee bending ball around the centre half, there was a wee ball dinked over the top. We don't ever think like that. I don't know why we
just
don't
keep
think
it for
that.
The sake of
we just keep it just for the sake of it looks alright, we're keeping the ball.
Yeah.
It means if we've got the ball, they've not got the ball, so they're not going to hurt us. Whereas, like, the first goal last night, we'd all. Robert Snodgrass, great delivery, right? He has got a great delivery. So we are now relying on Robert Snodgrass last night to put in this great ball, and we are going to win the header. But we don't think, what happens if we don't win the header? So when that ball gets headed clear, the boy O'Donnell's too far away from Mertens, who gets the ball, one touch, one pass, De Bruyne, goal. Like, you've got to think of the what-ifs as well as the what might be's, you know?
That's another thing I think as well. In this country, you look at Belgium, for me, you think James Forrest and that's quick, but when you see them against these guys, they're not quick.
I just
in this country, we do not develop young kids' pace, power, strength. Do you Gordon Stratton said it was a genetics thing, but I don't agree with it. I think again, from 9 to 12, we didn't give kids sports scientists. They're no quick, they're no strong. We were over at a tournament in the summer there, speaking to the Ajax coach three times a week from 9 to 12. They've got a sports scientist in every session doing power, pace, strength. Wow. We did passing drills where, right, you pass the ball to that cone and follow your pass. Aye. When does that happen in the game? Under no pressure, just time wasting passing drills.
So that's
down 9 to 12, we need to get people bigger, quicker, stronger. So that's what Belgium have got.
So you're putting that, like, that I agree with, because ultimately, we, like, I'll see guys like Callum McGregor playing for Celtic on a Saturday, and I think, tidy wee player, can keep the ball, got a pass, can shoot. But yet last night when I see him against De Bruyne and the boys in Berlin, they're just pushing him off to say, look son, move it away. I'm playing football here tonight. And you think, how's that even possible? Because they're both playing in like different leagues, they're good players in their own right, but when it comes to international level, they're just brushed aside. So first, you're right, they need to get developed physically. Sometimes nature has to take its course, which can take time. Some people develop faster than others. But ultimately, it's down to coaching.
Yeah. I think it's coaching 100%.
Coaching. Like, I've said this before on this show many, many times. You go away to do your UEFA B licence because it's the licence that, without a provisional driving licence, you kind of get a full driving licence. So to be an A level coach or a UEFA pro coach, you need to go and do this B licence. It's B for fucking bullshit because you learn nothing.
You learn
nothing at it, because all the managers and all the teams I played for, they used to do drills, and I used to think, that's a right good drill he's done today. And I would never ever think to write them down or remember or whatever. You just do your day-to-day training. When I went away to the B licence, the thing I thought I would struggle with was setting up drills, because I couldn't remember my drills. You all know my memory's terrible anyway. But ultimately, I never learned anything. It was like you're doing shooting today, away and figure out a three-phase components to a shooting drill. And you go away and you think, I thought I was coming here to learn that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So there's something fundamentally wrong somewhere.
Chris Boyd had a rant last night, slaying it. As a youth, a guy who coaches young kids, is it a middle class sport now?
I think it's certainly completely different society when I was growing up. Somebody said the other day, "Oh, go to Tory Glen this Sunday, and you'll see lots of kids play." That's not the point. Nobody plays in the street at all. Mm. Nobody plays in the street. And our kids, I remember we did a wee bit of ball mastery at the start side, and they think that 15 minutes, 1 hour a week is enough. That's nothing. I mean, through the summer, kids don't play. I don't see any kids playing in the streets. I don't see it. They're saying, "Oh, we can't get in the pitch." We didn't have to go into Astro pitches when we were younger. No. We would play out in the street. We would make our pitch up, jumpers down. We used to actually play, I mean, no word to lie, there was scaffoldings up, and we used to use the scaffoldings as a bar and played a big game for the older guys. We would, what's this lot of shite? Or the pitches are closed. Go and make a pitch up. Nobody wants to play it in
jump
the street.
Jump the fence, what we used to do as well.
As simple as that. They don't want to play it in the streets anymore, si.
Ollie McBurney, here's another one for you, right? Steve Clark plays Ollie McBurney up front on his own in the three. Ollie McBurney doesn't play that.
No.
Sheffield United plays in a two up front. At Swansea, he played with a number 10 behind him. See, if you're going to play with a three up front and a three in midfield, one striker, Stephen Fletcher should play. Bigger, stronger, can get hold of the ball.
Why do we play with two wide men, but we don't cross the ball?
Do
you know what I mean? Like, if you play the one guy up front, right? If he's that one focal point that's going to hold the ball for you and lay it off, so once he does all that,
that's not McBurney's game, eh?
No, it's not his game. Mm-hmm. But who then is in the box to actually score the goals if he's come to do all that dogged work? I just think that, like, why don't we just play a 4-4-2, be a nice solid back four, a solid midfield four, and we've got two strikers. That one up front is just basically saying, we're trying to compact the midfield, pack the midfield, protect the back four, but we're not really look like we're going to score at any point. It's just, I don't know, like, it's, that's why I don't coach. It just drives you bonkers.
I don't think we play at a player's strengths, eh?
No, of course we don't.
McBurney's never played up front on his own in 3 years. He scored 20 goals playing with a number 10 off him or playing up as a two. So why then go and play him up front on his own? Which I don't get it. I don't get it. Because you can tell by his stature and his physique, he's not good at that.
Ollie McBurney's a hard-working centre-forward, right? There'll be things that he's very, very good at. There'll be things that he's not so good at. So when he plays with Sheffield United teammates, Billy Sharp and whoever else they've got up front down there, he's playing alongside somebody. So when he's maybe going for a header, they maybe might not win it. It might drop to his other strike partner. Whereas when he's doing that with Scotland, there's nobody anywhere near him to try and give him a bit of support. No. And the boy's running about, he's trying his hard. And like you say, he's probably become the easy target. I think that's wrong, but that's what we do in Scotland. We'll pick the easy target and we'll abuse him. And we'll abuse Ollie McBurnie now to the point that when there'll come a day when he'll say, like, you know what, Scotland's maybe not just for me, because this is what I'm going to say, right, and I might be miles off it. We talk about mental health in football, right? See, when you're not playing well and you're getting abused by a nation, that has to mess with your head. So why would you want to go and, put yourself in that situation that makes you feel very uncomfortable? I wouldn't.
I think though, of course, working in the media, you've got to have your opinion. Of course you have. But when you're singling somebody out for a performance that you beat 2-1, the full team, it wasn't just one player. No. For him to single. Listen, in the media, you've got to be, I want people to know to sit in the fence and you want them to see what they're thinking, whatever. But just to single one person out for him was just totally, as I said, a bitch move.
Craig Levein said if he spent a pound more than Mikey Stewart, it would still be the worst signing. So there's obviously some views on Mikey Stewart, but Mikey's got an opinion and we all know that, you know what I mean?
I think Scotland, they will turn it around. I think Steve Clarke, so far, I don't know what, I think he's getting a personnel rank, Si. He's getting a personnel rank. I think if there's a starting 11 there that will be good. I believe they will go to the Euros, and I think I will be a huge part of it.
I think there's a group in there that he needs to find, that when he puts them out in a part that he can trust. There's too many players playing there now that you can't honestly say he's going to give me his everything.
That's why I thought in the two games that we should have went with the older, experienced, tried and trusted players.
I thought
they
should have played Ryan Jack.
Snodgrass, Fletcher, Charles.
Snodgrass was great last night, by the way.
I don't know why. These guys have got big experience, eh? They know how to win games of football.
It's a learning curve. And like Slaney says, we're going to go into this qualifier thing, playoff thing. And would it surprise you if we got through? It might surprise a few, but it's the kind of scenario where we're absolutely hammering Scotland, and then in 6 months' time, they might be saying, fucking hell, we're going to Euros.
Aye.
You just don't know.
Oh,
hey. So there's a lot, as bad as it's been, Steve Clarke will learn a lot about himself. He'll learn a lot about the players that he's picked and trusted. And hopefully next time round, the games against Cyprus, Kazakhstan and is it San Marino?
Yeah.
There are three games where he's got to really find out his best 11 players for the playoff games.
I hope I go to Russia, yeah.
Steve Clarke, if you're listening, Paul Slane is kitman and Bobby Pettit is DJ.
It's
Bobby, you still pals him, Slane?
Well, me and Bobby went to done personal training with me and I've never worked a lie. I've never ever came across as he messaged me saying, Slane, you still got a bit to offer, son? And I said, Bobby, you're totally right. So I said, meet me tomorrow at 10 o'clock. It was in the West End. And
did he have his leather hoodie on?
Bobby Pretta frustrates the life out of me. Him about Glasgow, you're Dutch, go back to Holland, son. apart from that, I met Bobby Pretta and I thought he was going to take me for personal training. Really did, but he done it in the street. I've never witnessed anything quite like it. Sight in the street in the West End, me and him were fucking running up hills. No hills, it wasn't a hill, it was a fucking street where people were walking by. Bobby Pretta put something down and he's making me run up and doing it, and I'm thinking to myself, what is this guy doing? But Bobby Pettit is another guy, he's a part of that wee dinosaur, hanging with the media, the wee sort of...
He's not in the media.
No in the media at all, he's never done the media, Bobby Pettit.
But he is still your fellow DJ? Because you were going to do the DJ. Did you not buy Dex?
I bought Dex, it didn't quite work out, it's not my scene, and I brought Bobby Pettit to the house, and him and my wee ma were loving the DJ set. So what the fuck am I talking about here?
Right, transfer window. Rangers got their man Ryan Kent last week, £6.5 million and rising. Were you surprised that they managed to pay that money for him? Did you think it was going to be a loan?
Aye, but fair play to the board or whoever it is that's caught with the cash to do that bit of business. Does it make a statement? No particularly. The guy done well for Rangers last year. Couple of good games against Celtic. But ultimately, £6.5 million price tag now. He's not a loan player. He's now got to come up here and prove it every week. And there'll be big things expected of Ryan Kent. So good luck to the kid. Hopefully he produces the perform he did last year. And if all been well, he'll be a great signing and certainly an asset to Rangers. Obviously, they're needing wide players. And Ryan Kent is, he seems to be a fan's favourite in such a short time, so he's got a wee bit about him, but like I say, a lot of money to spend But that's the market we're in this era.
His girlfriend's from Glasgow. My missus done her makeup. That's why he's desperate to get back up the road.
Is it?
She is a cracker.
Is she beautiful?
Oh, absolutely beautiful. Slaney, you liked him, didn't you, as a player?
I really like him. I said at the start of the first podcast.
Why don't you get your hair like his?
I am receding, and Grogger Boy is frustrating the life out of me. Grogger Boy has now took another step forward for me to go wild on him in the hairdressers. But certainly,
he patched you in the hairdresser. He told you to get it.
Well, I can't get it. I
must be a hairdresser out there willing to cut Slaney's hair.
Names and
numbers on a postcard, please.
Regarding the Grogger Boy, I said to him, I went in and they said it's appointments now, so I booked appointment for the next morning. The next morning, I turn up and I sit in the seat, the hairdressing seat. I'm the first in, and then three or four people come in and sit in the seat. But I'm laughing at myself, thinking, these guys haven't made appointments, they're going to get fucked out in a minute. So I was absolutely buzzing in my head. And Grogger Boy walked out to me, playing me his groggers, of course he was. And he said to me, what did they book you in for? And I said, you were still in yesterday morning, tell me to come in the morning, first appointment. He went, no, I've got you in for the morning. So I stood up in the seat and walked straight out. And I turned up the next morning. But
it's looking well.
Looking great. He's done a great. So we'll move on for that. But Ryan Kent, I said at the start of the podcast in the summer, I said Rangers must sign him if they want to compete for the league. If they want to go for the league, they must sign him. And I did say that even though they started well, they must get. They brought him in. I think he's a huge signing. I think he's a real good player, Ryan Kent. But we'll see. I still believe you can buy the best players in the world. But if you've not got the guy in charge to fully know what he's doing, then it won't work.
And do you know how Steven Gerrard knows what he's doing?
Well, I believe.
Come on then, let's hear it. This should be good.
Don't sit in the fence.
Well, listen, I believe that since he's come in, I mean, I don't see anybody in the media saying anything about him. Now, we're just talking about going for guys like McBurney or whatever, or managers, or Neil Lennon. I mean, get put out with Kluge, and it was like a meltdown in the country, yeah, that everybody attacking him. And then Steven Gerrard, I mean,
tactics were poor.
His starting 11 was bizarre. That's the only word to describe it. The forehead of Morelos. Now, a few Rangers fans have said, listen, my best mate's a Rangers fan, Big Willie Auld, a lovely big boy.
Hi, Willie.
Hi, Willie.
Another Willie.
Another Willie.
You like your Willies, didn't you?
I certainly do. But he's a big Rangers fan, so don't take this as if I'm trying to say, I don't give two shits about that. I'm much bigger than Celtic and Rangers put together, yeah. So I'll do my own thing.
You're an institution.
Correct, si. But what I'm saying is about, where was I?
About Gerrard's.
About Gerrard's tactics. It was bizarre. But the media haven't said one word about him. I don't understand it. He's been cut some amount of slack. And he came out once again. How many times are you going to blame the players? After the game, blame the players. You played the total rank team. Knee wingers. I mean, Celtic's back five, four, including the goalkeeper. They hadn't ever played with each other. They've just came in. And knee wingers. And you've no get Morelos, who loves competing. Listen, what I said was the Rangers fans and my mates and that said about Defoe played the last goal for him the season before. The league was done then. Yeah. It was playing
this
for
game
nothing.
Meant
this was a huge game. Why Morelos wasn't he playing? I mean, when I seen it, I was absolutely buzzing that Morelos wasn't he playing. No white players are it, and five centre midfielders. He may as well just make his full team centre midfielders because I don't know. He may as well put Gary McAllister in goals as well. I don't know what's the deal. I just think at the moment, I think he's been cut some amount of slack. And if we're going to be fair, if you're going to be fair in the media, which I'm certainly, I said about Neil Lennon and Kluge, it was all done at Ryan when McGregor left back. We'll be fair. And I said Gerrard has got it completely and utterly wrong. I mean, the players, it's bizarre. It's simple as that. Si. And he done it the last Old Firm game, the first Old Firm last season, where he got it wrong. He said he'll never do that again. He done it again.
Yeah, nah.
And the fat pub was atrocious. They could have been there all day, but didn't have a chance. So it was so easy. Neil Lennon took him to school, packed his packed lunch, and fucked it up and said, sit down, come into my level. And he proved him wrong. So why don't we lose a country? Back Neil Lennon and say it was a tactical masterclass for him, which it was. Si. He scored the goal. He made it. He sat, no, sat in.
He scored. Neil Lennon scored
Neil
the goal.
Neil Lennon, come on in, put it in, lovely boy. And Neil Lennon, he got the goal and he said, do you know what? Go and pass the ball out. There's no width. You've no get Morelos on. Put balls in if you want. You're not going to do it. Defoe's not going to do that. You need to put the ball in a wee 5 centimetre radius for Defoe to score. If no, take him off. So, simple as that, I believe Rangers will challenge for the league this year. But until Steven Gerrard gets it right and Stoke throwing his players under the bus, I said it before. The best manager of all time, Sir Alex Ferguson, he was known for the hairdryer treatment. He'd done it to all the players in the changing room, but went out in the media, he blamed everybody but the players. Steven Gerrard, listen on, son, and I can come in and speak to you if you want.
By the way, I couldn't even take the game seriously because did you see who the fourth official was? Did you see when Wally was bringing Johnny Hayes on? What a double act they took. Do you think they were speaking about Slaney when they were coming on?
Well, supposedly, wee Wally said, have you been hearing that, what Slaney's been saying about you? Johnny said, I'm going to pull him up. And Wally went, no, you won't. Don't you speak to him. I really like Paul. So Wally stuck up for
Stand
me.
Up for you.
But it was brilliant to see Wally at the side. And my God, I believe I would love to get into the referee game in an Old Firm with Wally on the park while I'm radioing into him.
What would you be saying in his ear?
I mean, I don't really want to get into that side. The reason I'm saying that is because I don't know what to say to me.
Kev, who... you're a centre forward. Were you surprised that Defoe started ahead of Morelos?
I was surprised because the two of them have
not unusual world
to be loved by anyone.
The two of them have been changing. So like 1 week Defoe was starting, 1 week Morelos was starting. So there was a bit of squad rotation there. But I can see why maybe Morelos didn't start, because when he came on for the 20 minutes or so he came on for, he did hear a couple of kicks out and he did look like his head was going to burst at any point. So had he started the game, he potentially might not have lasted 20 minutes. So there's that thinking behind it. But again, Slaney's nailed it to the point that when you're playing Jermaine Defoe up front, did you? Aye.
By the way, I met his new missus.
Have you? Aye.
Cracker.
Loves me. I went to the toilet at one time and I didn't like what I seen when I came back. But listen, Kev, you will go back on.
So Defoe, like you said, Defoe, they didn't play with any wingers, any width, so that's not going to really help Jermaine Defoe. You know what I mean? He's a box type player that's going to score goals, and Rangers certainly weren't getting down the wings to put balls out the box for him. So was surprised, but to Celtic's benefit, it probably helped, because a new back four, the two full-backs, first Old Firm. And to be fair, the two centre-halves, big, what do you call him?
Julian Beaton,
absolutely think
good
he's...
Good football player, Beaton, eh?
Aye, you don't feel ever in any danger with him at the back, because he's so comfortable on the ball. Composed. And to be fair to big Julian, he just heeded everything. He was commanding, he was dominating, and Fraser Forster experienced behind him. But yeah, Celtic looked comfortable.
Can I say something? If I had listened to you two on Twitter, you had me believing that Bolly McBurney was the worst player in the world at left back.
Aye, but he's had one good game, Si.
No, listen, even just watching the game, though, he's a good player.
Si, do you know what, though?
He'll come good, I'm telling you this.
Do you know what, see?
Mate, he's fit as you can get.
Do you know, listen,
do you know what happens? Can I just say something?
No, of course you can, Si.
People pass him the ball, right? I watched this in the Old Firm. People pass him the ball where he's got nowhere to go. Yeah. Absolutely put him under the bus.
Yeah, you're right. And I've seen a switch.
It happens all the time. They give him the ball when there's like two men round him, and then he kicks out and he gets...
Slaney did chuck him under the bus. I say that game time.
I think
he'll probably come.
I just want to get this clear. I mean, I'm not certainly no jumping ships, but I said, well, I'm a the bully fuck joke. I felt the joke, and I was just desperate to say it, so I went along with it. I believe Bolly's a great left back, Si. I really do. But certainly, what I'm going to say is, we're talking about, as we've seen, the full Celtic defence went excellent. But again, it was so easy. I mean, if I was the Rangers manager and I looked at that, I'm like, here we go. See, for the free bit, I like playing football, of course I do. Forget football. Boys in the channel. No boys up where big Julian's going to eat the ball. Mm-hmm. No way, Si. Boys into the channel for Morelos to run, won't they? Start with maybe Ojo. I don't think Ojo done well when he came on, but certainly start with wingers and make it hard for them. It was such an easy day at the office. But I must say, they did play excellent. And big Julian, I believe, is one of the greatest centre-backs that Celtic's ever had.
Ever had?
I do believe so.
Up there with McNeil.
McNeil and Van Dijk.
Kev, Greg Taylor signed. Does he go straight into the team, or does Bolly keep his place?
I think Bolly's got to keep his place. He's got to make Greg Taylor's come from Celtic. I don't know what the price tag was, but we're talking 2 to 3 million quid. So, kid's under pressure straight away. He's got to break out of first team, but he's young, he's eager, he's wanting to learn, and ultimately, huge club, huge future. Huge potential.
Potential.
So, no, I think Bolly, on the performance of the Old Firm game, doesn't deserve to be dropped. So, I don't see why Neil Lennon would want to drop him, just because he's brought in a new signing. So, it's good. Competition for places, which can only be healthy at any club. So, a good move for the kid. And obviously, he'll need to burn that Rangers tap he's got in his wardrobe.
By the way, I must say as well, big Elam Ahmed looks like a right good player, doesn't he?
He looks like he
strolls at me.
He was alright, but I just sometimes thought he could have been a wee bit more. aggressive in the right back area. I thought it was
I don't like disagreeing with people, but that's one of the worst comments I've heard on Open Goals. He's one of the most aggressive players I've seen in a long time.
Fucking in the heart of a pee.
Right, whose squad's shaping up the best to win the league? There's a question for you.
See, a wee while ago, right, you would say that Celtics was very, very thin. You get guys like Chris Sutton saying they need 9 players, 7 players, whatever, I don't know how many players he said, but they needed a lot of players. And then see when you're thinking about it there on that old fun game, and they had like Ball, they knew they've got Greg Taylor, they had Julian, they had Big Nurbito, but they've got Simunovic, they've got Ayer to come back in. Right back, maybe a wee bit shy in that area. Midfield, plenty of players. Up front, you've got to hear Griffiths coming back fit. Edward, different level, understandably, £9 million a snip, or £10 million, whatever they paid for him. Fantastic player. So Rangers, they've got a lot of numbers, but it's the quality.
Yeah,
I think that's the two differences. Celtics maybe got a lesser squad in terms of numbers, but more quality, whereas Rangers have went for the more numbers and maybe not as much quality. Good players, ultimately, definitely, but I just think Celtic edge it.
Yeah, I think when you see like in Cham coming on for Celtic,
like, how good was he when he came on?
Well, that's what I said.
That's top
quality. I said the boy was a dribbler. He got the ball in the last 20 minutes, kept it ball, and
it was Neil Lennon.
When he gave you a shout as well, your man, he's scoring the winner. I'm delighted for him.
Well, I know this isn't even me trying to be funny here. I can't believe what happened to me that full Sunday. I got message after message saying, "What a goal you scored today, son."
It ruined the day.
Yeah, see when he scored, was there a part of you that felt guilty for like getting
him? No, I was delighted because obviously.
I think you spurred him on to do that. Fingers up to he's gave you,
there you go, you should take that. I don't want to do the brave happen with you anyway, but we know you did, but he scored a great goal. But me, my man's sister watched the game, and my wee ma, we were sitting in the living room and watched it, and I don't know if I should say this or no, but my wee ma wasn't taking it in. She was all over the place. She was eating, chewing in my ear. She was rattling me stuff. But Melissa, my sister, who's come back from Australia and has come back with an attitude, said to her, "You'll not believe this, I will bless you," to my ma.
No more to lie.
What? Dave, she was like, I don't know if we could put this in or whatever, but she said, I mean, my ma was drinking a glass of water or wine, I can't remember what it was, with ice cubes in it. She kept going, but the ice cubes kept making, I should have made that noise, easy joke to come back at that, but the ice cubes were pure rattling. And Melissa's turned around and said to her, "Ma, I will bless you." So it was a horrible bear pit atmosphere in the Slane household. But my God, when Johnny Hayes scored, it relieved a lot of the tension. That pit could be the worst minute in Open Goal history. That wee minute I just thought.
Brilliant. Right, we're going to talk about Roy Keane.
Oh,
watched it last night.
Oh, mate, it's tremendous, wasn't it?
Let me just say, and I can't feel that I'm talking over people.
You go for it, mate.
Roy Keane is absolutely amazing. And I'm going to say it right now. The world need much more of Roy Keane. You say you're in the same bracket as that. You're an honest man. You see how it is. The world nowadays is absolute. I don't know what's happened to it. You can't see a word at all. Roy Keane's honest. He's honest.
Can I tell you something? See, if you played with Roy Keane, you'd hated him.
Aye, I heard you saying that. And listen, I'm not saying it, and it's certainly with the Man United one.
He's slaughtering Alex Ferguson, mate.
I know. See, before I watched the thing, I was going to be the total opposite with Roy Keane. I was going to come in and slaughter him here. I was like, "You're embarrassing yourself, keep going."
Stick to your opinion, mate.
But when you listen to him,
he's great value.
But see, when he was saying, he was like, he played for 12 and a half years at Man United, won all the leagues, led them out in the pitch, and then at the end, when he's no the same sort of player, he's injured, it's like he's treated like, and Carlos Queiroz was throwing a bib at him and saying, "Go and play up front, you." I mean, how you are treated like a number at these clubs, and how sickening it must be, Kev, what he done for the club. Now, of course, Sir
Alex. That's Roy Keane's side of the story, though. So
yeah,
I'd imagine he'd have done stuff to Carlos Queiroz.
But I think Gary Neville was saying, like, they stayed, they didn't bend the pre season, and
he
the team stayed.
Himself.
Roy Keane stayed in his end place, doing a mile face. So if you're a team, regardless if you're a captain, you've got to stay with the boys, and he stayed there and certain other things.
I was in the squad when Celtic beat Dunfermline 8-1. Roy Keane played, went and for supper at like 9:30 at night, and Roy Keane was sitting Tommy Burns, and they were telling stories. It was brilliant sitting listening to them. So finished supper at about 9:45, get up to go back up to the rooms, we're walking up to the bedrooms, and a woman comes over with her kid 9:45 at night and says, "Oh, Roy, can my kid get a picture of you?" And he absolutely stares at him, like death stare. And he said, "What age is he?" And she's like, "Oh, he's 9, he's waited upon it." He said, "He should be in his bed, get him up to bed." No picture, he should be in his bed. And I was like, "Wow, ruthless, mate."
Like,
he's scary, man.
See, when I was at Sunderland on the Friday, Niall, I said to Niall Quinn, look, Quinny, I think I need to move on. I want to go away and get my career going. I've been in for 18 months, time for a change. He went, look, Kevin, I've got a new manager coming in on Monday. I've agreed it, we're going to give you a new 2-year deal. And I was like, right, who's the gaffer? And he says, Roy Keane. I said, no, I'm still going. I just went. I thought,
sorry,
no. I just thought that the way I played and my style wasn't going to suit Roy Keane. So that was it. But apparently.
But see, when he's caning Jonathan Walters for hitting a programme and no training and stuff like that, and Kevin Kilbane came a couple of days ago saying when Roy Keane used to come to Ireland, he wouldn't have trained for the first 3 days. So how can you slaughter Jonathan Walters when you used to do the exact same
thing? I think with Roy, there's obviously a lot of things he says and does and people don't agree with him, but you only have a light slain he says you hear, and you said there, you only hear Roy's side of it.
Yeah.
There's always two sides to every story.
I don't like this, but sorry, Kev.
No, you're right. He's got an opinion, and it doesn't matter what filters are involved. He just has to say it, and that's how it is. And if you don't like it, lump it. If you're going to cry about it, go and cry about it. That's my opinion. Deal with it. I'm comfortable. He's obviously comfortable in his own skin to say what he has to say, and he believes in his own opinion. So
there's
nothing wrong with
see
that.
See this with Sir Alex as well, and Roy Keane, and why do these people feel that they need to come out in a book and slaughter people?
I know.
Like,
how much money do they need?
I can understand it if you were you didn't have a lot of money and you're trying to sell it, but why do they need to sell a book? Why is Sir Alex coming to slot him? Like, why does he even need to listen? Sir Alex is a genius, but why would he need to? I don't know. I was
a 19th man when Clyde beat Celtic as well. Roy Keane's debut. We got the bus back here after the game.
Was Roy Keane playing?
He played, and we were in the dressing room, and Strachan and Tommy Burns and Gary Pendy were in the office, and we were all sitting in the dressing room. And Roy Keane's like, Lenny, go and get the manager. What's happening here? We've been sitting there.
Roy Keane said that.
So Strachan comes in, and the first thing he says to Roy Keane, after he'd spoke, he asked Roy Keane anything to say. And Roy Keane just shook his head, man, picked his stuff up, and then out he went.
No way.
Mate, he was so, scary.
Wow. What was he like training?
Brilliant.
Was he?
Always pass. See that what we're saying about McTominay, mate? See if he passed the ball sideways or backwards, oh my God, man, he would roast you.
Would he?
Pass the fucking thing forward.
That's the kind of guy that Scotland's leading right now, a fucking Roy Keane. Even like that, the fucking team with the boys.
Oh, as a player, like, mate, what a player I have.
Gets the best out of everybody around him because you know that you're scared of him. You don't want to let the guy down.
Do you know what I loved about Roy Keane, mate? He would shout at me as a 17-year-old, but he would shout at John Hartson and Alan Top. We were buzzing because they'd been shouting at us for years, and now somebody was coming and shouting at them. So, it wouldn't matter who you were, you're spot on. He would shout at everyone. Eh?
That's respect.
He absolutely. Did you watch the interview? He absolutely done Walters. Who's the other?
Jonathan Walters.
Who's the other two Irish boys?
Stephen Ward and Kenny Cunningham as well. Another one that I want to ask you about. Did you see Michael Owen and Alan Shearer? Michael Owen's a loser, isn't he?
Honestly,
Michael Owen is the type of guy that series links Question of Sport watching it on a Saturday night. And then plays a Nintendo Wii.
Can we get honestly, God, what is he coming at?
Still wears bootcut jeans, man.
Is that video you see him when he's doing the shooting practice against a 13-year-old kid?
Neville Simpson. Well done, he's 14.
Well done, he's 13. It's like Michael Owen pure loves it. He must have been an absolute tadger to play with, Michael Owen.
He went for Newcastle, didn't he?
Oh, he can
do it. I love all that, though.
But I never thought Michael Owen would be like that. He's,
I know, but
it's good to see the side of him, though, isn't it?
Oh, of course it is, because he did come across as like the model pro and the boring wee guy, but he's clearly got something about him.
Boring wee guy.
And then Alan Shearer's just basically saying, I like Shearer, I must admit. Shearer's. I played against him, and like when you watch a highlights reel, Alan Shearer.
Oh, what a player!
Like if you want any striker to do well, you just give them a highlights reel. Alan Shearer was always on the front foot, always getting across the first defender. Could hit a ball, aggressive. He was hard as fuck, man. Honestly,
was he?
Solid. Even now, when he's still solid. Mm-hmm. Just one of the guys that like. Oh man, he's just.
Did you play against him, kid?
Sunderland v Newcastle. I actually played. They got the Newcastle beat us, I think 1-0 or 2-1, and Shearer got his cricket done. I think that was the last ever game he played that day.
Oh, was it right?
Aye. But he was just like, didn't they like him because he was a Newcastle fan and a wee Sunderland, but as a player, fucking Alan Shearer. Right. You know what I mean? He's got the highest goal scorer in.
Who's a better player, Shearer or Owen?
Shearer.
All day long.
All day long.
Nick?
Oh,
wouldn't
Owen
played for some time.
What about Sir Alex's comment? Owen's injury problem started a month after he started playing football.
But for me, we own it. When he lost his legs, that was him done, wasn't it? He was absolutely brilliant when he first came through. Did he win the Ballon d'Or? But
he did. It wasn't
the Ballon d'Or, it was a European player.
I think they maybe called it that then, so it wasn't in the world. But no, he was exceptional when he first came through. But listen, he's absolutely rubbish.
Why has he never changed his fringe?
He's a big Celtic man, isn't he?
Is he?
Is that true?
No, I don't think so.
Don't know where I've came up with that.
I heard he's...
Right, if you were going to write a book, Kev, how far would you go in calling people out?
Oof. I'd go full hog.
Would you?
Aye, we wouldn't give a shit.
Anyone in particular?
I don't need
to say why, but just anyone that you would...
No, there would be a few, aye. There would be a few. Just guys that... I just didn't like it's like life. Mm-hmm. It's just there's some people you just do not get on with, and when I played football there was loads of these guys that I did not like, and I just thought, I used to say to guys, like, I don't like you, I play with you but I don't like you, and that's
it. Did you really?
I fucking didn't like, we're playing as a team, we want the team to do well, but ultimately I don't like you, I don't really want to speak to you, and that was it. I just, like, that wasn't me being a dick, it's just how it was. Yeah. He's got no relevance to my life, so fucking don't bother with me. But ultimately, no, I would. Like, I think when you're writing a book, we've all read books and we all read autobiographies and you read a book and you think, fuck, that was a really good book. Like, especially autobiographies, like Gaza's book is brilliant. Niall Quinn's one's good. Keane's is brilliant. I think when you write a book, you just tell the truth, you tell the reality of it all. And people actually sit and read and think, fucking hell, that's a great insight into somebody's life. It maybe doesn't do you any favours because you're bringing up things in the past, but ultimately a good book is when you're honest, and Roy Keane and Michael Owen here are being honest.
There's no way you would ever say anything to anyone.
Why bother it up?
I don't actually quite like it. I think it's quite a sneaky movie. Slotting boys and that. Like, see things in the dressing room and that in football. Like, things happen in a changing room and it happens, but I mean, it's all seen after a training session or a game, it's forgot about. So I think bringing stuff to the dressing room and what people are like, no, that, I think it's a sneaky move to come out in a book and do it. I don't know. It's just not for me.
I would love to do it, I would go through a lot of people.
I'd make up lies about everybody, and I certainly would, because I don't know, Si, but I don't know if I would write. I kind of read a book. I always see when I start a book, my family always says, Paul, you need to... I remember when we used to travel, my mother was sorry, and it was a car school, 5 years, me, McGarry, John Sutton, sorry about the wee names I'm using here. But we used to be, and I was so hyper, Si, in the motor, and John Sutton says, Slaney, you need to come and read a book every morning. So he brought me The Chimp Paradox. You ever heard of that book?
You're an arse chimp.
He believed that minor chimp was causing me to act like this, so I kept thinking to myself when I was doing something mental or whatever, too hyper or talking, it made me go mental, because I think, is it me or the chimp doing it? So I kept reading this book every morning and thinking to myself, is there a chimp
inside me?
So I said to something, is the chimp reading the book? And he went, you know, he went, forget it, there's no point, you don't take it serious. And I went, John, that's it. So that is a true thing.
Brilliant.
But I can't read the book. I read one page and I forget what I've read and go back to the start. It's not for me. I need to keep active, and certainly I.
Yeah. Right, so we're going to just, a couple of things that Keane said about Alex Ferguson. Ferguson came out afterwards and said he always did what was best for Man United. That's nonsense. His son, who was very lucky, won a medal. His brother was a chief scout. I'm surprised his wife wasn't involved in the staff somewhere. Darn it, Preston lost his job. He had a couple of players, Man United, but guess what happens the next day? He pulled him out of Preston. Is that what's doing the best for Man United? Do me a favour. Do you agree with that?
See, well, let me just see.
When it's put like that, it's very hard to agree with that.
If Sir Alex Ferguson wanted to make his wee wife Jean, is it wee Jean?
No, Cathy.
Wee Cathy. And if he wants to make wee Cathy the assistant manager, then he can do that. He's that big at Man United. So wee Cathy would have been great as the assistant
That's
manager.
That's what I'm saying. To see all this, though, sure, he's earned the right to be able to do all this.
Sir Alex Ferguson could do that.
See, they were hopeless in the bottom of the league, he wouldn't have done any of this.
No, of course.
But he's earned the right to do that.
His brother was absolutely one of the worst scouts in history. Do you remember the one he did in Barcelona? They get beat 2-1 in the Champions League final. And Sir Alex said that he sent his brother out to Barcelona the next season. He watched Barcelona every game. And then he played in the Champions League final again at Wembley. And it was even worse. So what his brother was doing there in Barcelona was beyond me. It certainly wasn't he watching football. And by the look of him, he was, my God, he must have ate somebody in Barcelona.
Oh, brilliant. Slaney, you want to sing us out?
Well, I just want to say a wee thing here. Coaching.
All right, you go back to coaching.
Really serious. Really, really serious. And brought all the boys in, brought all the team in. They were first years at schools, Premier 7 maybe, brought them all in. So I'm doing a team talk very serious. I says, if you don't want to come and work hard, leave at the door. And one of the boys put his horn up and said, Slaney, can I tell a joke? And I'm looking at him as if, are you hearing me, son? Sorry. I said, are you hearing me, son? And he went, what does Mo Salah order for the Indian? Chicken tikka Mo Salah. So all the kids started laughing at me, and I said, son, sit down, you'll no take part in the session again, Si. So because of that joke, he's now been released from the club. Joke's only for me anyway, Si, at the club.
Serious,
no for me,
serious,
but as he left,
you need to change his country, mate, don't you?
Aye, but I've been using the joke, Si, non-stop. It's a crackery a joke, but the wee boy won't be
Aye, tell the one that. About when your kids were, I think they got beat a doing, and you, what was the question you asked them, Hansa?
Oh wow, listen, there's been many a jokes, there's been many sort of stuff in me. I remember one, this isn't the club I'm at now, by the way. I remember one, this is bizarre. A boy came and was playing his first game for me, and I said, right, you're going and play, and he looked at me as if, what do you mean? And I said, you're going on. So anybody went on, and the ball went out for a corner for them. So that the team against us had a corner against us. So the ball went out and rolled off the pitch a wee bit. So the boy I brought on, running out to get the ball, and I'm shouting, put it down. Have I told this story?
Uh-huh.
I was like, put it down. I'm shouting, Si, and get in the box. He puts the ball down and whips the ball in for the other team's corner, Si. he took a corner against his own team. Si, so that was what I was up against, and that boy, of course, I think I've told that before, that story.
No, I don't think I have, actually.
So he came off, and then with the band, I said to the boys after the game one day at the training session, I said, come here, everyone. He just says, put your horn up if you think you're embarrassing, and they all put their horn up, so it was great.
Oh, so it's been super, boys.
That will be me, Si.
Done.
Thanks very much. I'm away to Scotland. I'm away to Russia. Do you know the boy, who's the big boy for Moscow? For Zenit. Do you know he gets called the Zenit Lighthouse? The big boy Dupe. Who's the boy who scored for Scotland? The big Russian striker.
Oh, the big striker.
Do
you know he gets called the Zenit Lighthouse? That's actually his nickname, eh?
What?
Because he's that big. Suppose he's that big, he lights up the whole Zenit, and that's his nickname, the Zenit Lighthouse. You could have been called that. The Stranraer Shitehouse.